Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hi there, Jerry Escher with you, hour number two. Carlo Broussard will join me this hour. We're going to talk about purgatory and its support in Scripture, the support of the Catholic doctrine, understanding that there is a state of purification. We're going to talk with Carlo about what that is. Is it a place? Does it happen in an instant? Does it happen over time? Do you have any questions about this, or have you been quizzed by your kids, or maybe you've been confronted or challenged by a fallen away Catholic, a non-Catholic, perhaps even an anti-Catholic, that's just simply not found in the Bible, it's not historical, and therefore you Catholics, it's just one more of those things that you believe in superstitiously. 888-318-7884, you can get on the program, and I would encourage you to call right now. Lines are open, but they fill up fast. I don't remember the last time an hour of Catholic Answers Live didn't have full phone lines. So again, 888-318-7884, and obviously it's the perfect day to have a show on this topic. It's All Souls Day, and Carlo Broussard is with me, a staff apologist at Catholic Answers. And Carlo, it is just really a joy to be working with you again, especially on a topic that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts today.
Amen, Jerry. It's always a pleasure to be with you on the radio as well, my friend. And yes, it is dear on the hearts and minds of many. In fact, Jerry, just a couple of months, about a month and a half ago, our webmaster pulled a search off of our website of the most commonly searched topic. What topic do people search the most on our website? And purgatory was at the top of the list. You would think, after all these years here at Catholic Answers, we've answered questions concerning purgatory and all of the articles, both magazine and blog, and all of the radio shows. You think that folks would no longer have any questions pressing on their hearts and minds about purgatory, but in fact, it's still there. So there are many folks out there who still have a lot of questions about purgatory. A lot of folks out there who have some misconceptions about purgatory. And we're here at Catholic Answers, and specifically on the show today, we want to address those questions, address those common misconceptions that folks have, both Protestant and Catholic alike. So if there's anybody out there, Jerry, maybe they're a Protestant who thinks the doctrine of purgatory is contrary to Scripture, or maybe contradicts the sacrificial atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Maybe there's Catholics out there who have a Protestant friend that they're trying to evangelize and dialogue with about purgatory. Maybe purgatory has come up in a conversation, or maybe even there's some Protestants out there who might be in RCIA and converting to the faith, and they might still have a few hang-ups with this doctrine, or dogma, I should say, of purgatory. And if that's our listeners out there, then we would encourage them to give us a call, because we're always looking for callers to call in so we can have a good conversation with them.
Yeah, Carlo and I will cover some ground on this topic, but we want to give you the bulk of the program, dear listeners. 888-318-7884 is our toll-free phone number. We had a call last hour, Carlo, I don't know if you were listening, from a gentleman who was wondering what types of things can we do to aid the souls who are going through that state of purgatory. So that might be on some people's minds as well. Can the souls in purgatory pray for us? Can we pray for them? Can they help us in any way? Or how do we assist them in moving as swiftly as possible through that purification, that purging, which is where purgatory comes from, and of course get into that fullness of the beatific vision with God. So again, it's 888-318-7884. Carlo, I'm going to start real simple. I'm going to throw you a question. What is purgatory? If you could, you know, the what they call it, the elevator speech, you
That's
know?
Right, yes.
You've got from the ground floor to the 17th floor to tell somebody what purgatory is. What do you say?
Yeah, well, basically, purgatory, as the Catechism states it very succinctly in paragraph 1030, purgatory is for those who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, and are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. After death, they undergo a purification. It's a final purification of the elect, that is, the saved ones, you might say. So bottom line, frankly, it's a pit stop on the way to heaven. If an individual soul dies in friendship with Jesus, and that's why the Catechism says they're assured of their eternal salvation, they die in God's grace and friendship, but yet they're still imperfectly purified. That is to say, they still have the guilt of venial sin on their soul, and we can talk about that in today's show. Or if they have some sort of unhealthy attachment to a created good, which is what the Catechism of the Catholic Church defines as a temporal effect of sin, something that flows from the very nature of sin. If any one of those conditions are met when an individual dies in God's friendship with and dies in friendship with God, well, then they would undergo this final purification where the will would be turned away from that attachment to the created good, or at least it would be properly ordered in order that the will can fully be turned to God and thus enter into the beatific vision. Because remember, Revelation 21:27 says, nothing of defilement shall enter into the kingdom of God. I think Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 13 speaks of how God cannot behold iniquity because his eyes are pure. So nothing of defilement can enter into heaven. But we see in Scripture, according to 1 John 5:16 through 17, there are some sins that are not unto death, what we call in our Catholic tradition venial sins. That is to say, an individual can die in friendship with God, but yet still be defiled. Well, between death and glory, or before entering into the beatific vision, that defilement would have to get taken care of. It would have to be purged. It would have to be purified. Whether it's instantaneous or whether it's a duration, we simply do not know. We bow in humility to that. But the Church does teach that a final purification for those souls who die in friendship with God, but yet still defiled with venial sin or unhealthy attachment to a created good, would have to undergo this final purification. And throughout the show, I'm sure we'll get into the biblical evidence for that. You know, did Jesus believe in purgatory? Did the early Christians believe in purgatory, both in the apostolic age and after the apostolic age? These are questions that we're going to address in today's show, Jerry.
We are, and we encourage you to call in with your questions about purgatory, where it is in Scripture. We can also talk about what the early church believed about this, any development of this doctrine, as many are dogma, as Carlos said, many of the church's teachings do develop over time. That does not mean that the church invents new doctrines or changes doctrines, but there's organic development of them. On this All Souls Day, you may be wondering about the state of the soul of a loved one. Obviously, we can't address that specifically, but if you have questions about how you can aid them with your prayers, your sacrifices, or what can they do for us? Can they merit on our behalf in purgatory? 888-318-7884. Carlo, I'm going to interject this. It's not in the notes we prepared, but as I was at Mass today, I had this image, and I want to see if this is kind of boiling it down to a real sort of popular level. I thought about, you know, how God wants, ultimately heaven is about God wanting this full embrace with us, this full embrace of love. And we want to kind of push away, or we wiggle, and like a baby in his child, you know, in his mother's arm. You know, baby wants to get down, you know, on the floor. But there's danger, there's harm down there. So the parent's kind of holding on to him, and the child is wrestling and kicking and screaming and pushing away. Purgatory is kind of about God, I guess, removing from us that kicking and screaming,
sure,
and pushing away, so that we have that full love embrace with him in eternity. Is that outlandish image, or
no? I don't think it would be totally outlandish, because as I mentioned,
just partially
earlier,
outlandish.
Well, not, I mean, I think it's a good. Let me rephrase that, Jerry. You got me, brother. Let me say it would be a good analogy, because remember, as I mentioned earlier, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, I believe it's paragraph 1472, when it talks about the temporal effect due to sin, it talks about an unhealthy attachment to created goods. And in the final purification, one of the causes of the suffering in purgatory will be the turning of the wheel away from self, away from created good, so that it can be totally oriented to our ultimate end, namely God, in a loving relationship. So there is that sense where we're suffering because we're being turned away and directed toward what is best for us, what is good for us, namely God himself. So by way of analogy, I think your example applies, because in the parent holding the child, there's a fight, there's a struggle, but the parent is holding the child, trying to orient the child's will to the will of the parent, because the will of the parent knows what's best for the child. So in that sense, I think the example works, because in purgatory, our will is being redirected and oriented perfectly to the will of God, which is necessary. That type of holiness, as the author of Hebrews states in the book of Hebrews, is necessary for the beatific vision, a holiness without which we cannot see God.
Very good. Real quickly, a couple more things, and then we will get to a break and your questions for Carlo Broussard on the Bible blueprint for purgatory. What do we know about what Jesus thought or taught or thought about purgatory? Does Jesus reference it, Carlo, and then by extension, a little later on, the church, the early church, because obviously we know that the early church got what it received from Jesus himself.
That's right. Well, we do have evidence, Jerry, that Jesus believed in a sort of purgatory coming from his Jewish tradition. I mean, we know in the Jewish tradition, according to 2 Maccabees chapter 12, right around verses 30 to 46, where we read about Judas Maccabeus, they took up alms, they offered sacrifices for the atonement of sins of their deceased comrades who had fallen in battle, right? Because they found these little sort of superstitious items that they were holding on to. And so the Jews understood this state of purification in the afterlife that was neither heaven nor hell. Now, what's interesting is that serves as a good backdrop for Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, where Jesus says, "Whoever says a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." Now, what's interesting here is notice Jesus said, "You will not be forgiven in this age nor in the age to come," of this particular sin against the Holy Spirit he's talking about. So the question is, well, Jesus, are there other sins that can be forgiven in the age to come? The implication is that there are some sins that could be forgiven, could be purged, could be wiped away in the age to come. Now, it's important to note that the age to come here, Jesus is referring to the afterlife. The Greek word there for age to come is aeon, which is used elsewhere to suggest the afterlife. For example, in Mark chapter 10, verse 30. So Jesus is talking about after death. He's talking about sins being forgiven, or you might say purged. So that state of the soul in the afterlife couldn't be heaven nor hell, because you can't have sins forgiven in heaven and you're not getting out of hell, right? So what is Jesus referring to? We call it purgatory. So Jesus indeed does believe in purgatory, and Matthew chapter 12, verse 32 is evidence for that. We also see it in Matthew 5, 25 through 26, where Jesus talks about an individual being thrown into prison, and he will not be let out until he pays the last farthing or the last penny. The whole context suggests the afterlife. An individual is thrown into prison, a temporary holding place, where repayment is made. And we know it's temporary because a farthing or a penny, in the Greek there, chondrontes, is a very limited amount of money. It can be paid. It's not like it's an extraordinary amount of money where Jesus is talking in hyperbole here. So in Matthew 5, 25 through 26, we have yet another example of Jesus teaching what we believe as Catholics to be purgatory. And of course, there's evidence elsewhere in the Bible that the early Christians, in particular St. Paul, believed in purgatory. But we might have to get to that throughout the rest of the show.
All right, very good. Carlo Broussard is here doing his usual great job. We're talking about the Bible blueprint for purgatory. Your calls will be next here on Catholic Answers Live. Tom, Georgia, Tanya, Nick, and I'm not sure if we have a line open. It may just not have been screened yet. I told you folks, you got to call early on this show. But every time we clear a line, you will have an opportunity to get through, ask your question about purgatory on this All Souls Day broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. The number to dial is 888- 818-7884. Please stay with us.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Broussard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply, they say. Because not only does God not exist, he doesn't even matter. In his new DVD, Why God Still Matters, apologist Carlo Broussard doesn't let them off so easy. He takes apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teaches you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important. In fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Okay, I want to get to your calls for Carlo Broussard on Purgatory here on Catholic Answers Live. Jerry Usher, your host today. Tom is in San Diego listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Tom, you get to go first because you called first. How are you?
Doing real good, thank you, and thanks for your show. I have a question, a two-part question. First is regards to, I don't think it's scriptural, but it regards to victim souls that are holy persons, I guess, that suffer for the purification of those in purgatory. I want to know if that is a correct assessment of what victim souls are. And additionally, I have a question about saints and mystics that had visions or visits to hell. Have any of them also reported on visits to purgatory?
Okay, thanks, Tom, for your two questions. Very good. With regard to the first and this idea of victim souls, I've come across it in passing a few times. I don't know much about it and exactly what is proposed by this. From my understanding, as I've come across it, it has something to do with a person feels that God is calling them to, you know, make extreme sort of sacrifices and offerings up to God for the souls in purgatory. My thoughts on that is I think we have to be a little bit careful when we come to this idea. The fundamental principle there is good and it's valid. I mean, we're all called, Tom, to pray for the souls in purgatory. In fact, on this All Souls Day, or the Feast of the Faithful Departed, or where we celebrate at Mass, all of the souls who have departed, and we all pray for them. We're all called to offer up our prayers, our sufferings, our trials for the faithful departed. Now, whether or not God calls me specifically to engage in sort of extreme measures of offering sacrifices and prayers for those in purgatory, that's something that's sort of, I can't really comment on, because that's sort of an individual thing. Like, I don't know if God appears to somebody individually or gives them an interlocution of, you know, he wanting them to perform certain deeds to offer up for the souls in purgatory. So that's something that that's on a subjective level. And if a person, thinks that God is calling them in a very special way to pray for the faithful departed, I think that's a good and holy thing. We have to be careful not to take that to extreme measures. Perhaps that individual would want to seek out spiritual direction from a holy priest in order to guide them in their acts of charity for the faithful departed. So that's a couple of thoughts on that. Now, concerning any saints that maybe have had visions of purgatory, if my memory serves me correctly, I think Saint Faustina had some visions of purgatory, as well as Saint Catherine of Genoa. If I'm pronouncing her name right there, Jerry, you might be able to help me out. But they have these visions, these private revelations of what the experience of purgatory might be. And these are good and holy to take into consideration, to reflect upon as a Catholic, especially if the doctrine of a particular saint has been approved by the church in their writings, etc., which is the case if they're canonized. But it's important, Tom, to always remember that these are private revelations. What a particular saint sees or experiences in a vision about the nature of purgatory or the nature of hell or even the nature of heaven itself, we always have to remember that these are not binding on the Catholic faithful, on the Christian faithful. We do not have to believe them and take them as dogma or doctrine. What we must take as dogma or doctrine is the teaching of the magisterium of the church. So we stick with the teaching of the magisterium of the church, which the saints would always tell you to do, and what the church teaches about purgatory in a definitive manner, the nature of purgatory and what does it consist of, etc. And then we take these private revelations and measure them up to the teaching of the church, and thus we're able to discern if at least these visions of purgatory, say, fit within the boundaries of church teaching. And if they do, then they could be used for meditation and pious thought. But if visions would go outside the boundaries, well, then we would have to reject those private revelations. But whenever you have a saint such as Saint Faustina, where her writings have been examined by the church, etc., we can at least say that these visions would be within the boundaries of church teaching, although they would not be obligatory to believe. So just a few points to keep in consideration as you're going through the writings of these saints.
How's that, Tom?
Sounds real good. I had one other interjection. What about indulgences? Are like 1,000 days?
Okay, yeah. So your question is concerning, the church used to use the language of days attached with indulgences, but we don't anymore. Is that what your question's concerning?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it is true that in the past, the church would attach a certain number of days to particular indulgences that she granted. So, for example, if you perform Act A, you'll get 40 years off of, it's 40 days of penance worth of this indulgence. And basically what the church was using that language for, it did not refer to how many days you would get off of purgatory, Tom. It referred to the amount of days that this act is worth in the ancient church for penance. Like, for example, if you committed adultery, you would have to do 3 years worth of penance, let's say, okay? And then the church looks at a particular act of charity or mercy and says, okay, we're going to apply an indulgence. We're going to ascribe an indulgence to that act and say it's 3 years worth for this particular act. And what the church was basically saying is that that act of charity or mercy that it ascribes an indulgence to is equivalent to 3 years of penance in the ancient church. So it had nothing to do with how many days or years the act was taking off of the final purification we call purgatory. What it had to do with, sort of an analogy to the value of this act equivalent to what the act of, what an act of penance would have been in the ancient church. So, but today, the church has done away with the use of the language of days being ascribed to an indulgence precisely for that reason, to avoid confusion, because we don't know definitively whether purgatory is instantaneous or days, etc. So, hopefully that's helpful, and we'll get back to it on the other side of the break.
Thanks, Tom, for the call. Georgia, you're going to be next, and we've got several others. The Bible Blueprint for Purgatory being presented by Carlo Broussard today on Catholic Answers Live. Grab that open phone line if you'd like. It's 1-888-318-7884. More, as Carlo said, on the other side of this short break. Don't touch that dial.
We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day, in conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong, to be prepared, to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we, as believers, are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a great resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic. So finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about the existence of God. Your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply, they say. Because not only does God not exist, he doesn't even matter. In his new DVD, Why God Still Matters, apologist Carlo Broussard doesn't let them off so easy. He takes apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teaches you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important. In fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live, thank you for tuning in. I'm Jerry Usher hosting today. I want to mention, too, you can catch me and my cohort, my radio co-host Debbie Giorgiani, on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie weekdays, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern Time on EWTN Radio, and it re-airs on at midnight Eastern Time. And also there is a best of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie at noon Eastern on Saturdays. So please do join us. We talk about the things of life, stuff that we're all dealing with, encountering. We just really like to let your takes, your comments, your questions drive the show. So that's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, noon Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on many of these EWTN stations. All right, to Georgia next in Mobile, Alabama. Hi, Georgia. Thanks for waiting through that break there. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling about, I heard on a show earlier this morning about a prayer to St. Gertrude to get souls out of purgatory. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I'm familiar with the prayer of St. Gertrude, the actual prayer itself. But unfortunately, Georgia, Georgia. I'm familiar with the prayer, but unfortunately, I'm not familiar with the exact promises that are associated with the prayer in regard to how many souls would get out of purgatory if you pray this prayer, etc. But the prayer, so I can't comment on the promises themselves, but the prayer of St. Gertrude is basically a prayer in which we're offering the precious blood of Jesus in union with the Mass, as said, throughout the entire world, for all the holy souls in purgatory, and for sinners everywhere in the world throughout the universal church, etc., for our own family and for others. So it's a great prayer. It's a prayer that's basically sort of formalizes, you might say, what we might say spontaneously, where we're praying for the holy souls in purgatory. So it's a great prayer to pray. And in praying that prayer, the Lord God will apply the graces that come from that prayer to in whichever way he sees fit for the souls in purgatory, the final purification, whether it's one soul, whether it's many souls, we don't know. But the Lord can apply those graces, and we can be confident that he will. And in return, in praying for the souls in purgatory, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church states in paragraph number is slipping my mind right now, paragraph 958, that our prayer for them makes their prayer for us more efficacious. So I would recommend the prayer of St. Gertrude, encourage you to pray it, because like I said, it gives a good good form to the spontaneous prayers of the heart. And then, of course, we would also want to pray spontaneously as well, talking to the Lord about those souls in purgatory.
All right, Georgia?
Let me ask you this. Where do you find the prayer at?
Well, if you just go online, Georgia, and go to Google and just type in the prayer of St. Gertrude, it'll pop up. You'll be able to find it. It's a beautiful little prayer.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Gertrude. Appreciate that. Over to Anaheim, California. Tanya, you're next on Catholic Answers Live with Carlo Broussard. Hi, Tanya.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Better now that you called. How are you?
I'm great. My question is, considering Pope Francis made this the Holy Year of Mercy, I had offered an April of this year, a plenary indulgence for my husband who died 2 years ago.
Okay.
So, you know, I went through all the, you know, confession, Eucharist,
sure,
prayed for the Pope, went through the holy doors, and made a corporal works of mercy. But I was, you know, when is a plenary indulgence only during the year of mercy? And would it be considered just a step towards getting out of purgatory, or would it be considered a final purification
okay.
for my husband? And okay. I know the Pope, you know,
sure,
talked about this, but as far as in God's eyes, I don't know.
Okay. All right. No, thank you so much, Tanya, for calling us here. And first of all, let me express how I'm sorry to hear the news of your husband passing 2 years ago, and we will definitely keep him in prayer and lift him up on this All Souls Day. So, objectively speaking, like, we have to sort of parse out between what is a plenary indulgence and the what we call in theology the subjective application of it to a particular individual. So, for example, to address your question, first of all, you asked, is a plenary indulgence only for the year of mercy? And the answer to that question is no. You can obtain a plenary indulgence for yourself or for your loved ones in purgatory anytime, whether it's the year of mercy or not. Now, secondly, you asked, does the indulgence only remit some of the final purification, or does it remit all of the final purification? Well, the answer to that question, objectively speaking, the essence of a plenary indulgence is the remission of all temporal punishment due to sin. So if, that's the hypothetical there, if a plenary indulgence does take effect, whether it be for your own soul or your husband's soul in the afterlife, that final purification would be complete. It would, the soul would be completely purified of all venial guilt, the guilt of venial sin, as well as the will being completely turned from unhealthy attachments to created goods and being completely oriented and directed to God. So a plenary indulgence is the remission of all temporal punishment. It would bring the purification or the need for purification to complete, as opposed to a partial indulgence, which only applies to partial temporary punishment, partially satisfies temporary punishment or the temporary consequences due to sin. Now, here's the key, Tanya. Whether or not that plenary indulgence actually took effect for your husband in the afterlife, that's something we don't know definitively. Only God knows that. But we can have confidence, Tanya, that God will apply the graces as he sees fit for your husband in the afterlife. So we have this objective dimension of what a plenary indulgence is, and then you have the subjective application, which goes beyond our knowledge, which belongs to God alone.
Does that help you out, Tanya?
Yeah, it does, because I'm going to do another one this Saturday.
Amen.
For my mom, who's
Amen.
Been gone 20 years.
And don't stop. Yeah, and don't stop, both for your mom and for your husband. I would encourage you, Tanya, to continue offering up your prayers and your sacrifices, doing the indulgences that Holy Mother Church gives us, both partial and plenary, and offering them up for your deceased husband, and having confidence that God will apply those graces to bring his final purification to an end in order that he may enter into the beatific vision.
Thank you, Tanya, for your call to Catholic Answers Live. We do have a line open, 888-318-7884. Carlo Broussard is laying out the Bible blueprint for purgatory with your questions, so please do join us. We have that open line that Tanya was on right there, and we do have plenty of time left. We're just about in the second half of this hour of Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884. Carlo, before we take our next call, I think you alluded to this. You advised Tanya, and by extension, all of us, don't stop.
Amen.
We're in this year of mercy. You mentioned we can do spiritual acts of charity and mercy to gain plenary indulgences anytime. But boy, Pope Francis has just he's lobbing us a softball during this year of mercy. And gee, I'll tell you, I've been through the Holy Doors several times, and I hope that a lot of people are taking advantage to this, Carlo. I know you do too.
Yes, you know, this is a great spiritual practice, a great penitential practice that Pope Francis is giving us to perform in order to contribute to the purification and the cleansing and the sanctification that is necessary to order our wills rightfully to God, to turn our wills away from unhealthy attachments to created goods, to sanctify the soul, which is completely biblical. We have tons of examples where the New Testament authors are constantly talking about how almsgiving atones for sins and how love purifies the soul. Loyalty atones for sins. We have example after example of acts of love, acts of mercy that can cleanse the soul, making it fit for God. And these Holy Doors is a great example of the church applying, using the keys of the kingdom, using her authority to ascribe to a particular act, simply walking through a holy door and be able possibly to gain whether it's a partial or plenary indulgence for the full remission of the temporal consequences due to already forgiven sins, because that's what an indulgence is, right, Jerry? It's
right.
The remission of temporal consequences due to a sin or sins that have already been forgiven. So the guilt of the sin is already removed. The indulgence has to do with the remission of the temporal consequences due for sin.
All right, we're going to take our final break here on Catholic Answers Live today on this two-hour episode. I'm Jerry Usher with Carlo Broussard. By the way, you will find Carlo's, he's got some great products, the Bible Blueprint for the Mass, the Bible Blueprint for the Priesthood, Why God Still Matters. He's got his 20 Answers booklet on miracles. You will find all of these and more in the shop at Catholic.com. And all of this is part of the year-end sale going on. You could save up to half. Folks, we're talking 50% off on many of the items, other items 10%, 25% off, and more. So please make a point of checking that out. It's going on through the end of the year, but hey, it's already getting to be that time where you want to be thinking about what to give that's meaningful and really impacting to those you love at Christmas. So it's the shop at Catholic.com where you will find that. And one other quick thing I want to draw your attention to there is Tim Staples has a 5-part audio course called God's Perfect Plan, Purgatory and Indulgences Explained. And so that is part of the sale as well. So be sure you stock up at Catholic.com. More of your calls straight ahead. Thanks for being with us.
Don't you just love listening to Carlo Broussard? Did you know you can book Carlo or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
Hey everyone, this is Carlo Broussard, and I'm here to tell you about something of eternal importance, the very existence of God. Today's atheists have a new tactic when it comes to talking about God's existence. We don't need God to explain the universe, they say. Science can take care of that. We also don't need him to be moral or happy. Some even say, your arguments in favor of God don't even deserve a reply because they're not real explanations to begin with, like science is. Not only does God probably not exist, they argue, he doesn't even matter. In my brand new DVD, Why God Still Matters, I don't let our atheist friends off so easy. I take apart the premises of those who say God's irrelevant and teach you what you need to demonstrate why God is just as important, in fact, in today's world, more important than ever. Don't let atheists shut down the argument before it begins. Get your copy of Why God Still Matters by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
For All Souls Day today, the Church's lectionary gives 12 gospel options for Mass, because the gospel is mainly about our death and the eternal life Jesus gives us. Some Christians focus on one or two passages, like Romans 10:8. If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. True, but salvation demands more. For example, John 3:5, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Baptism is necessary for salvation. And in Matthew 7:21, it is not those who say, Lord, Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. And the most comforting, John 6:54, anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day. May our beloved departed rest in peace. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
All right, Carlo Broussard here again talking about purgatory. Your number to call is 1-888-318-7884. Carlo, there's a rumor circulating on the internet. I want to know if you've heard about it. If the Cubs win tonight, purgatory, everybody gets out of purgatory. Is that true? Or?
I don't know about that, Jerry, because unfortunately I am not a baseball fan, my friend.
Okay, well, it's Game 7 of the World Series. The Cubs have not won the World Series since, I think, 1908 or something.
That is amazing. I will acknowledge that this is a historical event worth considering to even watch for myself.
And, of course, their opponent, the Indians, haven't won since, I think, 1948 or something. It was really cool, though, yesterday. I don't know if you watch ESPN. I watch either EWTN or ESPN. And the chaplain for the Cubs, Father Burke Masters, was on ESPN yesterday.
Wow.
And they interviewed him, and he said a prayer right there and gave a blessing right there.
Fantastic.
Maybe they're have Kurt converting over there at ESPN.
ESPN is coming around, huh?
Yeah, right.
I must say, I hope I don't offend all the baseball fans out there, but for me to watch the baseball game, that might actually be a way by which I can take off some time at purgatory. It's very appropriate you bring it up, Jerry, for this broadcast, you know?
Yeah.
Nah, I enjoy the baseball games. I actually went watch the Padres for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and that was a lot of fun. I actually enjoyed that.
Very good. All right. Well, our board engineer is Nick in San Diego, and we've got Nick on the line in North Dakota listening on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Nick. Thanks for your patience during the break. Go ahead.
Hey, so thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering, if purgatory is good for our souls and helps us be ordered towards God,
right,
why do we want to get out of purgatory faster?
No, this is a very good question, Nick. Well, keep in mind, the good of purgatory, number one, is that the souls there can no longer sin. So that's a source of joy that's going to be present there. And secondly, the souls in purgatory are guaranteed their salvation. They're on their way to heaven. There's no possible way for them to go to hell. And that, secondly, is a source of joy in purgatory. However, purgatory and this final purification is also going to be a cause of suffering. It will be a great suffering in this final purification that goes far beyond what we can even imagine, Nick, in this life. You know, in fact, St. Thomas Aquinas in Appendix 1, Question 2, Article 1, he quotes St. Augustine saying this, Nick, check this out. This fire of purgatory, Augustine says, will be more severe than any pain that can be felt, seen or conceived in this world. So St. Augustine and the saints after him would all talk about how painful the final purification will be. Although there is joy there, yes, it will entail great suffering as well. It won't be the suffering of the damned, of the wicked who will go to eternal damnation. The church makes that clear. There's a distinct experience. I can't get the words out here. They're different punishments, as the church talks about in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So there will be great suffering. So, Nick, taking into consideration that the suffering of purgatory will be intense, it would be a good thing to have a desire for that final purification to come to completion as quick as possible. And that's why it's important for us here on earth who are united to those souls in purgatory to pray for them, to offer our sufferings for them, in order that those graces, God can apply those graces to those souls and bring their final purification to completion. And keep in mind this, Nick, one of the reasons why the suffering of purgatory will be so intense compared to any sort of suffering we experience in this life is because in purgatory, those souls are going to, their intellects, their minds will be enlightened by God so that they will know what they are going to receive. And the pain or the suffering arises from the fact that although they know what is awaiting for them with a fuller knowledge than what we have now, they can't have it yet. So that great desire for heaven, that great longing for the beatific vision, but yet they still can't have it, that, the tradition says, is one of the sources of the suffering, one of the causes of the suffering in purgatory. Whereas for us, Nick, here on earth, man, we're told that heaven's great. Yeah, it's going to be the perfection of truth and life and all of this fun stuff. And, you know, the Bible uses some great images, as Jesus does in Matthew 8, of a great feast and a banquet with folks coming from east and west sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's all fine and dandy. But that's sort of a limited knowledge. We're looking in a distorted mirror, you might say, as St. Paul would talk about. We only know in part, but those souls in purgatory, they're going to receive an enlightenment of the mind to know what is awaiting for them. And because they can't have it, that's going to cause a great deal of suffering for them. So out of love for us, Nick, we want to pray for those souls so that their final purification can be complete so that they can enter into the joy and the glory of heaven so that their suffering can come to a completed state and be finished.
Well said, Carlo. Thanks, Nick, for the phone call. Appreciate that very much. Carlo, you're probably too young to remember the old Fram oil filter commercials?
No, Jerry, no. I do not remember.
Well,
those.
The punchline was, you can pay me now or pay me later.
Right.
And his point was, you can pay me $4.95 for a new oil filter now, or you can pay me $2,000 for a new engine later.
That's right.
See, that kind of sums up what you're saying, right? With purgatory,
that's right.
we can choose to. Choose to kind of put ourselves through purgatory, if you will,
sure.
Or surrender to God purifying us in this life, which, as you're pointing out, is actually, even though we don't conceptualize it this way in this life because we fear pain and suffering, it actually is going to be, it would be easier for us to do that. Yeah.
Yes, it would be indeed easier for us to undergo the purification and the sanctification required for heaven in this life. This is why indulgences are so important, right? As opposed to the final purification in the afterlife. You know, so for our listeners, we need to sort of get away from this idea of, well, you know, I can die in God's friendship, but, you know, I might need a final purification before the beatific vision, so I don't really need to increase my prayer life or be more disciplined in my prayer life or perform these works of mercy and works of charity. I don't really need to serve my wife more or my children more. No, we need to get rid of that idea. First of all, for the sake of love, right? We want to do these things for the sake of love. But secondly, for the practical issue, the purification's a lot less intense in this life than it will be in the afterlife and purgatory.
All right, very good. Let's see. I don't think we have Tim ready yet in Vancouver, unfortunately. I would go to Tim because he doesn't believe purgatory is biblical. He says it's blasphemous, but his call is still being screened. So apparently the Lord wants us to stay with North Dakota, Real Presence. Glenn, oh, wait, you know, Glenn, forgive me, please. I want to get Tim on real quick, and then we'll try to get to you, Glenn. Tim is in Vancouver, Washington, listening on Modern Day Radio. Hi, Tim.
Hello, is this, I'm on now?
You are on the air. We've got just a few minutes, so.
Great, okay, here's a quick question for you. I grew up Catholic, and in 1993, I left the church and became a born-again Christian.
Okay.
One of the things that I've struggled with is why Catholics believe that there is such a thing as purgatory, because that is one of the most blasphemous concepts that they've come up with, and I'll tell you why. Jesus finished the work on the cross. He says it is finished. There's nothing else that we can do for purification purposes. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When Paul died, he knew that his spirit, his soul, if you will, was going to be in heaven. He never mentioned anything about purgatory, and there was never teachings in the New Testament about purgatory. And it saddens me because that takes away the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us. He did it all. Okay. He paid the price in full. Okay. So
All right, Tim, forgive me for jumping in. Just for the sake of time.
I think I got it.
This has definitely come up many times on the show before. Go ahead, Carlo. Got about 2.5 minutes.
Okay, let's see what I can do. Tim, thank you, first of all, so much for the call, brother. I really appreciate your fervor and your zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just very quickly, Tim, think about this, brother. Jesus died on the cross and merited for us the gift of salvation, and you're going to agree with that. I assume you're going to agree with that. Now, let me ask you this, Tim. Is it true? Let me put it like this. When you believed and professed your faith in Christ, that is an act of faith that you made, of course, by the grace of Jesus. Amen. But did that act of faith take away from the death of Jesus on the cross? Did that take away from the glory of the cross?
No.
Okay. Now, check this out, Tim. When you made that act of faith, when you professed faith in Jesus Christ, what took place was the grace of salvation that Jesus won for all of humanity in an objective sense on the cross, that grace was applied to your soul on a subjective level, and you entered into relationship with Jesus Christ. But here's the key, Tim. Just as that subjective application of the graces of Jesus on the cross to your soul when you believed didn't take away from the glory of the cross, so too, when the graces of Jesus are applied to my soul, when I am sanctified in this life, when I'm going through a process of purification, even in this life and in the next of purgatory, that in no way takes away from the glory of Christ, because it is the grace that Jesus won on the cross that is being subjectively applied to the soul. Now, if you want some evidence for this in sacred scripture, keep in mind, Tim, that, for example, in Hebrews 12, 10 through 14, it talks about how they were, the author of Hebrews describes how God disciplines those whom he loves to share in holiness. And the author speaks of striving for a completed state of holiness, of sanctification. St. Paul, you would agree, he's a born-again Christian. He's saved in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 through 27. He talks about how he pummels his body lest he become a castaway. Suffering actually increases our sanctification. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, suffering satisfies for sin. So, Tim, keep in mind that we still must be sanctified in this life, even though we're in right relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is biblical. What we're saying as Catholics is if that sanctification process is not complete at death and we die in friendship with Christ, it's simply going to be completed in the afterlife before entering into the beatific vision. And of course, we're out of time to address the other points that you brought up. So hopefully you can give us a call on our apologist hotline, and we will address those issues for
you. Yeah, Tim, that number is 619-387-7200. Another scripture I know Carlo relies on heavily too is 1 Corinthians 3:15. Tim,
That's
give
right.
that give that a read tonight as
11
well.
11 through 15, amen.
Yep. God bless you, Tim, Glenn, Steve, and the others. Wish we could have gotten to you. Carlo, great job as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
I am Jerry Usher. I'll be back with you tomorrow. 2 hours of Q&A open forum on Catholic Answers Live.